Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has freed us and made us slaves to God and to righteousness, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans. This time we'll read from chapter 7. We'll read verses 15 through the first half of verse 25. This is the Apostle Paul writing, and he says, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I don't want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man that I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. A few years ago, I had the privilege of attending a musical stage performance of Jekyll and Hyde. It's a play that's based on the famous Robert Louis Stevenson story, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You're probably familiar with the story. It's been around for a long time, but I'll give you a short summary of this musical just in case you don't know it. In this story, a man named Dr. Henry Jekyll was experimenting with separating the two distinct sides of mankind, the good side and the evil side. He believed that if he could just separate the two, he could liberate mankind from its evil side. In his experiments, he succeeded in making a potion that he supposed would do the trick, but when he drank it, he transformed instead into Mr. Edward Hyde. He transformed fully into his evil side, and he began to commit horrendous crimes. When he discontinued using the drug, it was already too late. Dr. Jekyll began to become uncontrollable. He began to transform into Dr. Jekyll and he wasn't, or into Mr. Hyde, I'm sorry, and he wasn't able to stop himself from doing it. In one of the most memorable scenes in this particular musical, near the end, the actor who played both Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde does a terrific job in his last song of transforming back and forth in between Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde during the song. And as he's singing about the battle between his good side and his evil side. Doesn't that sound a little bit about like our text for today? A similar battle that we read about between good and evil, an internal battle between our good side and our bad side. Was the Apostle Paul, who is the writer of our text, was he some sort of mad scientist who had concocted some sort of potion that was uncontrollably changing him from an evil creature back into a good creature, turning him into a monster at various times in his life that he could not contain or control? Perhaps Paul was afflicted with some sort of split personality disorder. Well, no, he wasn't. The Apostle Paul was just like you and me. And that is the scary part. Because these words from Romans chapter 7 are some of the easiest to relate to in the whole Bible. You don't need a whole lot of theological explanation to figure out what Paul is saying here, or what exactly does Paul mean, because we probably read through this and say, yep, that's me. That's me on a Tuesday, or that's me on a Wednesday. That's me most days of my life. Listen again to what Paul says. He says, "For what I do is not the good I want to do. The evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Who hasn't experienced that struggle? It's not that we don't know what is the right thing to do. It's putting it into practice and actually doing it. So this monster that lives inside each one of us that our new man of faith must do battle with every day is, of course, the monster of our sinful flesh. Paul says in our text, "As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Well, the bad news is there is no potion that we can take that would be able to separate our evil side, our sinful flesh, from our new man. We'll never be able to split ourselves into two and escape our sinful nature, at least not in this life. And that can be a very frightening and a very frustrating thing, as is evidenced by Paul's words and as is evidenced in our own lives. As Christians, we want to please the Lord. We desperately want to do what He tells us to do. We don't want to fall into the same spiritual traps over and over again. Frustration and maybe even despair can creep into our lives as we see ourselves falling into the same sins over and over again. We seem to be gaining some ground and gaining some momentum in our Christian life and our Christian walk, only to slide back into those same frustrating and hurtful sins that we always seem to commit. That movie or TV show that we really know we shouldn't have watched, we've watched another episode. That explicit website that we told ourselves we would never look at again, we've logged back in. Our temper that we said, "I'm going to get this under control, I'm no longer going to yell at my spouse or my children or lose my temper with people that I love and care about," we've let it fly off the handle again. "I am not going to max out another credit card," and yet we go and we spend more and more money. Whatever the habit is that you have that you want to break, whatever pet sin that you can't seem to shake, it can be frustrating and even bring us to the point of despair. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "No man knows how bad he is until he tries to be good." It's very true, isn't it? No man knows how bad he is until he tries to be good. In a similar way, Martin Luther famously said that the Christian is both saint and sinner at the same time. That frustrating duality is what we have to deal with in our everyday lives. The Apostle Paul was proof of it, and so are we. Ironically, that struggle and that frustration is a good sign. It's a good sign if you feel the same struggle and same frustration that the Apostle Paul felt. Why? Well, if you don't feel like it's a struggle to walk with God, or if you don't feel a week-to-week, day-to-day frustration in your life of sanctification, then there probably is a problem. That means that your new man is not putting up much of a struggle against your sinful flesh and just letting the sinful flesh do whatever it wants. That leads us to the good news. The good news is that, like Paul, we all have the antidote for the monster that lives inside each one of us. In the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Dr. Jekyll will drink a potion that transforms him from Mr. Hyde back into his usual self as Dr. Jekyll. Now, there is no actual potion that we can drink that will chemically or magically transform us into our new man and magically get rid of our sinful nature. But there is an antidote that frees us from the chains of our sinful nature and the slavery to that monster of our sinfulness. Paul rejoices in the last verse of our text for the cure that he found in Jesus. He cries out in lament, "What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death?" He says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." He is where that antidote is found. It is true that while we're still alive on this earth, we will always have that sinful flesh clinging to us, battling us, struggling against our new man that God's Spirit has created inside of us through faith. But in this very same letter to the Romans, Paul reminds us that this sinful flesh of ours does not need to frighten us or harm us any longer because of that antidote that we have in Jesus Christ. First of all, because of Jesus' death and his resurrection, he has freed us from the terror of our sins, the terror of eternal death that waits for us because of our sins. That's been taken away. Jesus earned our forgiveness and our salvation for us. If you go one more verse in Romans, into verse 1 of chapter 8, you'll hear Paul say this. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." No condemnation. Not for those sins that we keep falling into, those bad habits, the losing of our temper, or those sins that we're so ashamed of. There is no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus. And secondly, because of Jesus' death on the cross, because of his resurrection, we're not only freed from sin by his forgiveness, but we're freed from sin and its power over us. And the power that guilt and shame can place on us, that heavy burden that we cannot shake ourselves. Jesus has taken that away by his cross and his resurrection. If we turn back again to chapter 6 of Romans, we'll read about this. We read about it in our scripture reading for today. We'll read some selected verses from Romans chapter 6. "If we have been united with Jesus in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self, our sinful nature, was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Maybe the monster of your sinful flesh has been terrorizing you this week. Maybe it's terrorizing you right now as you come to the worship service today. Maybe it's been frustrating you, wearing you down, causing you to fear, or leading you to despair, or just making you want to give up. Making you think to yourself, "I am just so tired of trying. I'm so tired of fighting, and I'm so tired of failing." We've probably all been there before. Even the Apostle Paul had been there. As we mentioned in Bible class, the Apostle Paul, the one whom God inspired to write nearly half the New Testament, he felt that same struggle. He was no different than you or me. But maybe then it's time to stop fighting with that monster of our sinful nature and to start trusting. Trusting Jesus. Trusting what Paul trusted, what Paul knew. The conclusion that Paul came to was this: I cannot defeat this monster of my sinful nature, but Jesus can. I will never win this battle against myself, but Jesus has. I will not rely on my own perfection or my own ability to do what God tells me to do, but I will rely instead completely and totally on the work of Jesus, who did keep it perfectly, who never lost that battle with the monster of a sinful flesh because he simply did not have one. Jesus can pull you out of that despair. He can pull you out of that ditch. He's pulled you out of a worse ditch before. He pulled you out of the ditch of death itself, of hell itself, when he paid for your sins on the cross. By that death, he's also given you power over sin. So we can depend on him completely, or we can depend on ourselves. The result is either going to be complete freedom or complete frustration. The story of Jekyll and Hyde does not have a happy ending. I don't want to spoil this for anyone, but it does not have a happy ending. In the end, Dr. Jekyll eventually kills himself in his laboratory in this desperate attempt to keep that monster from ever hurting anyone else again, not letting Mr. Hyde out, emerging to do any more harm. Not a happy ending at all. But because of Jesus' sacrifice for us, we can look forward with confidence and joyful hope that our end is not going to be a tragic one. It's not going to end in despair in which we are overcome by the monster of our sinful nature. But rather, our last day, the day of our death, the day our sinful nature will be put to rest, will be the greatest day of our lives. The day that we will be forever with Jesus, in a day that we will be transformed. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's how your story will end. That's how my story will end. Victorious, happy, forever with Him. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.